without any further ado, Liz Lawrence.
Thank you. Thank you. Can everyone hear me okay? Sweet. Awesome. Well, we appreciate you guys selecting our lunch and learn time. Obviously, you guys had other selections, so I appreciate you picking us at LFG. So let's get started. We're going to be talking today really about why you should be using a broker for your lending services. You guys have probably, while buying your primary residence or other properties, have heard about brokers, but do you actually know why you should be using one? So we thought that this would be a really good channel to discuss the ins and outs as to how a broker works, feels, and functions, so that you guys can make a sound decision if you're going to work with one. So we'll go over some introductory stuff about me and our company and how we came to be. We'll get into the weeds of just some quick lessons on mortgage, because I think the education level of everybody is slightly different, so we want to make sure you guys have the basics on how investment loans really work in comparison to more of a retail product. Last but not least, are those tips. Why are we using a broker? Why are they someone that I should have in my Rolodex of people to discuss about my lending needs? Last but not least, I will go over some products just to make sure you guys are familiar with what we offer, and then I'll take any questions that you guys may have. So let's fucking go. So this is our team. I am extremely lucky to have these people behind me on a day-to-day basis. These are individuals that you could be working with if you are working with LFG Lending. So we are a mortgage brokerage, meaning we are not the direct lender. We take 40 to 50 different companies, and we have them in our Rolodex of people that we price out your loans for. We only do investment real estate lending. So if you guys are trying to buy your primary residence, I am not the person for you. I can refer you out to people that are very versed in that space. But again, only investment real estate. So if it is going to be rented to someone or going to be used as an investment, we got you all day long. People on my team, my incredible wife, Brooke Lawrence, she's up here in the front. She runs all of our marketing. So if you see some of our reels and social media aspects, that is not me, I promise. I didn't do any of that work. She is incredible. She works on our team part-time because she actually owns a company herself. We also have Adam Messmer. He's out in the hall. He will make you laugh like crazy. And he's very versed in the investment space as well himself. We have Dawn. You'll get to see Dawn tomorrow. She's coming in this evening. She's also a part of our sales team. Travis is my other appendage. He is my assistant. He makes sure that I stay sane and can continue servicing you guys. And last but not least is our special guest this weekend, McGuire Menning, who is my nephew. He is also a business owner. He owns a lawn care company, and we thought that this would be a great experience for him to be around people like you guys that are looking to grow your portfolios and learn from the best. So we appreciate it. What about me, though? So I want to make sure, especially when you use a broker, you need to make sure you're working with someone that's experienced, that this isn't their first rodeo, that they actually know what they're talking about. So hopefully this gives you a little bit about me. So I've been in mortgage for 10 years, working in various different avenues. I've worked for a high-producing loan officer where we were doing $100 million in origination. Just to put in perspective, most average loan officers close $12 million a year. We were closing 100 pretty casually. We specialized in doctor loans. So I learned from the best, and then from there, opened my own retail mortgage brokerage. So did those conventional FHA, VA, USDA loans under one of the largest real estate brokers, Red One Realty in Columbus, Ohio. So we serviced all of those realtors, had a great experience, but then very quickly realized that investment real estate lending was the type of lending that I wanted to work with. And working with my mentor who did doctor loans, I realized that niche lending is the type of lending that you should do. You should specialize in one thing, do it extremely well, and continue that focus through your career. So investment lending is our sweet spot. I'm an investor as well. So when I'm looking at your guys' transactions, I'm looking at it as if it's my own transaction. And if I wouldn't take down that transaction, I'm going to let you know. I always kind of refer to myself as a little bit of a mama duck to make sure that you guys aren't getting into deals that are going to end up biting you in the tail end towards the end. We own 13 properties, me and my wife, various. We've done Airbnbs. We're currently only doing long-term rentals only because two businesses are enough all by them lonesome, so we don't need to manage a bunch more, but we've had experience with flipping properties. Just last year, we burred 6 properties, so we used the burr method to take down 6 properties here in the Dayton area, and would love to talk to you guys more about my experience personally and how the products that I'm selling to you guys are the same ones that I use for myself. So it's not like I have the secret sauce in my back pocket. I share it with you guys of the things that I'm using to grow my own real estate portfolio. Again, business owners. So we've had LFG for just about 2 years. I've assisted my wife as well in her staging company in Columbus for the last 3 or 4 years. So very versed in how this works and being able to assist you guys. We are world travelers. You guys like to travel, please come bend my ear. We've been to Iceland. We just got back from a cruise to Israel. So unfortunately, we're seeing what's going on in Israel now, and it breaks my heart because we were just there 30 days ago and had a completely different experience. But love to travel, and know that there's a good chance when you call me, I might not be in Ohio. Still going to take your call. I tell clients that I work 7 to 7, 7 days a week. Now, do I work 84 hours a week? Some weeks. But what that means, though, is, again, I'm here. When you guys are writing a deal, I'm available. And I think I saw a couple people from California. I love you and hate you all at the same time, because my 7 o'clock turns into 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock very quickly. But again, I'll take a call whenever you guys need a pre-approval or something to continue growing your portfolio. And last but not least, I love to fish. So I work as much as I do, and I would say my vice is to go fishing. So we have a house down in Florida, so there's a good chance there has been one or more phone calls where I literally have a fish on the line as I'm talking about real estate at the same time. So would love to explain those stories as well. Did I say I like fishing? Did I say fishing? Maybe some fishing? No, but I should. Okay, I'll make it happen. We'll add it to the list. So more about mortgage. So again, we're an investment real estate brokerage. We focus only on investment real estate, but there's still retail. So I always try to really explain the difference between retail lending and what we do on the investment side. So retail lending, that's going to be your basic cookie cutter, conventional FHA, VA, USDA. There's nothing wrong with those products. So by no means is it me coming up here and saying my product's better. No, you use it until you can't use it anymore. So basic rule of thumb is the fact that you can only have 10 financed properties going conventional. So yes, use your conventional loans until you can. Downfalls of that is that you cannot close in an LLC when you go conventionally. All of our loans close in an LLC. So there's a little bit of an added benefit. Conventional, going to have a full documented loan. We're going to want your tax returns, your pay stubs, your W-2, that firstborn child, they'll take that too. I don't need that. A lot of our loans actually don't even have income validation, so that makes it nice. But again, these are products that you use until you can't, and then you come to the dark side. So our investment loans, again, I've heard crazy things people call us, wild, wild west of lending, I don't know, some craziness. No, we write these loans all day, every day. They are backed differently, so conventional loans are typically backed by some government entity, Fannie, Freddie, et cetera. Ours are typically hedge funds. Their money's still green, it's still usable, those loans are still written, and the servicing's still sold off. So the functionality of these loans are nothing different than what you guys are used to. We just try to make these products a lot easier for you guys to take down as you're growing your portfolio. We're also not limited to 1 to 4 family like conventional is. We can do 5+, and we can do commercial properties. So again, just a little bit of the basics. There's so much more I could go into, but wanted you guys to have kind of just a high level of the differences between retail and us. Now the secret sauce. So again, we are a brokerage. I had a guy come up to me while we've been here and said, why should I use you? sit down, sir. Let's talk. Again, we have many reasons. There's probably not enough that we could even put on this board, but we want to go over some of it. So one of it is we have a wide variety of lenders that we use. We use about 40 to 50 different lenders at any given time. And what that allows us to do is to take your scenario in and really do our own analysis of who's going to be the best fit for you. Not every deal fits in a lender's box. As much as these loans are easier to obtain, the lender still has their requirements that they're going to require you guys meet, and every deal is going to look and feel and function a little bit differently. So we're going to be able to use these 40 or 50 different lenders to ensure that you're getting best terms and conditions. That could be down payment, that could be interest rate, that could be origination costs. And gosh, one of the biggest things is just functionality. So we'll get into kind of some of those factors. We also have access to so many different lenders in different spaces as well. And I'm actually the person that interviews these lenders. So just like you guys sometimes get on the phone and do all this shopping yourself, I, as the owner of LFG Lending, go through these interviews, and they're very extensive. We do not just let any lender onto our platform. One, we want the institution to be large enough so that you guys aren't at risk of any fraud. I don't know if you guys are on any of these, like, investment real estate Facebook pages. There's some weird people out there offering 5% rates. That is not real. That is fraud. Do not respond. but that's our job. We're going to vet these people. We're going to make sure they're competitive in the market. So we're going to talk about rates next, hot topic, obviously, making sure they're competitive in the market in regards to rates, that they're going to make this process easy for you. So it is not, hey, we'll just let any lender onto our platform. It's not that simple, and I will fire a lender very quickly. That could be due to customer service. If the experience was not good for you, and it really happens probably more than once, they're gone, and we're going to add someone else that's interested in making this experience good for you guys. Rates are a big factor, so everyone's talking about it. The feds are potentially, again, going to raise rates before the end of the year. Guys, we don't control rates, unfortunately. I ordered my crystal ball through Amazon. It's on back order. I hope to get it shortly. But again, we have no idea where those rates are going to go. So what we've been really advising clients is focus on the deal. Make sure you guys are taking down a good transaction. Make sure it's cash flowing in the way that you are comfortable. And the cash flow that I would require and the cash flow that Brooke would require could be two completely different numbers. And we're here to really meet you where you're at to figure out what's going to be within your risk tolerance. Rates, 10 to 12% for hard money. So if you're buying a property that needs some rehab, that's roughly where you're going to be at. It's going to be driven on experience. Experience is different. We're going to talk about like guidelines. Every lender has different moving parts, experience being one of those, and that could change your terms and conditions pretty considerably. On long-term financing, we have two different products, DSCR and commercial. DSCR is going to have no income validation. I would say rates as of today are 8 to 9.5, roughly, depending on credit. Commercial is what a lot of our investors are focusing on now. Commercial is going to be a full doc loan. So I say commercial in two different ways. Yes, zone commercial. You want a warehouse or a storage unit facility or a restaurant or something like that. We do offer those financing options. But I'm also talking about commercial as a loan product. A lot of our experienced investors are getting into this space because the interest rates are exponentially better. So what did I say? 8 to 9.5. Commercial's in like the high 6s, low 7s. So significantly different. Now it's going to act and feel like that conventional loan. I'm going to want 3 years tax returns. I'm going to ask for that firstborn child, like all the things. But as long as you know that that's going to be the process, then we're good. And we do this all day, every day. So I'm going to give you a laundry list of items that I'm going to need up front. I'm going to try to not nickel and dime you for things after that. But know that that process is a little bit more extensive. But if you want the sexy interest rate, you got to put in some work for it. So we'll be there to support you on that. The big thing is we're going to show you the advantages and disadvantages from one lender to the next. I don't care what lender you guys pick. That's not a factor of what we're presenting to you guys. So I'm going to tell you all the moving parts. The example that I love to explain on this scenario is the difference between drawn interest and full note interest for hard money. Is anyone familiar with that concept? Perfect. So this is such a simple aspect that you can save a ton of money in regards to hard money if you knew that lenders have two different ways of how they calculate your interest payments. So let's make math easy for us. It's been a long day. It'll continue to be a long weekend. So let's say your loan amount is $100,000 and your interest rate on your hard money is 12%. On a full note interest loan, you're going to pay interest on all $100,000, even though part of that is going to be your rehab budget. So it's going to be $1,000 a month for your interest only payment. Let's say we decide to consider a full or a drawn interest lender as an alternative. Let's say your purchase price for that property is $70,000 and then you got $30,000 in rehab coming up to your $100,000 loan amount size. On a drawn interest lender, they are only going to charge you interest on the purchase price minus your down payment until you start pulling funds off of the draw. Meaning that now your interest only payment for your first payment, assuming you haven't drawn on the interest yet, just dropped to $700, if not lower. So there's just little things. I don't care which lender you go with, but what my job is to explain the moving parts from one lender to the next. Because again, there could be money savings on there. And you have to remember, that full note interest lender is gonna sell the product that's in front of them. They're gonna give you the facts, and if you wanna proceed, they will. My job is to say, we got two options. Let's figure out which one works best for you guys. Let's explain the moving parts, the pluses, the minuses, how long it will take to close, etc. And then you guys can then, at that point, make a sound decision yourself, and we'll proceed accordingly. So that's the big difference. I'm not here. I don't have any biased opinion as to which one you pick. So my job is to go through those term sheets and really get into the weeds for you guys. So we knew all the things. Again, these products are even something that I use myself. And so not only am I going to look at your deal as if it's my deal, my own deal, but we're very knowledgeable about the ins and outs of the requirements from the lender. This can be endless. Documentation. Let's talk about reserves. So reserves are typically required on any transaction, typically 6 months, but some lenders are more lenient or less lenient as to how that's sourced. If you're someone that has little cash in your bank account right now, we may need to get strategic about how we document those reserves. But unfortunately, let's say you're talking to a direct lender and they get you through the process and then they realize that this is a concern and you just spent the last 3 weeks getting to this point, not realizing this would be a hurdle. Now you have to pick up, go make some more phone calls and figure out how to come up with a solution for these problems. There's requirements regarding seasoning. Seasoning's a hot topic, especially since conventional changed their seasoning requirements to 12 months. Who's familiar with the term seasoning? Okay, good. I don't have to go into that one. So everyone knows, especially if you're flipping a property, that's super important. You're honestly not using conventional lending if you are flipping properties. Again, 12-month seasoning is way too long to hold your hard money loans. You almost have to consider a DSCR loan or things that we're offering in this lending space. Because we do have seasoning as short as no seasoning, as long as you're doing rehab to the property. And we also have 90-day seasoning, and you're actually closing on the 91st day of ownership. So we really want to start your refi process around day 60. But we're part of your team, guys. We're the ones that are sitting there being like, okay, cool, we closed last month. They said the rehab was going to take 30 days. We're going to put something on the calendar for both of us, and we're going to touch base and make sure that we're getting that process started as quickly as possible. So we really want to be part of your process from start to finish. Who hates filling out an application? Amen. Amen. So the cool thing with us, again, we're a broker. So the application's actually different with every lender, how they take it, in the format that they want it, et cetera. My processing staff takes care of all that BS for you. You're going to fill out one application. It's going to stay on file forever, ever. And then we're any other documentation. So say we had tax returns or bank statements or any of that. All of that stays on file. And depending on how often you're doing deals with us, we even have some clients where at the beginning of the month, We shoot them an email and we're like, hey, send us your next bank statement, because we just assume we're going to potentially have a deal working for them at some point, and I'd rather not bother them, let their admin send that over and get moving. So we're going to keep all of your documents on file as we go from one lender to the next, depending if that's truly necessary. Again, in a lot of cases, we're using similar lenders, but sometimes we do need to pick up. My team is going to fill out those applications for you, get all the documentation collected correctly, and make this super, super easy for you. This is simple, but I would say if you're a person that's filled out a bunch of applications, it's worth time and money for sure. Last but not least, roadblocks. Shit happens. Let's be honest. There's going to be as many questions as I can ask. There's still going to be something that potentially can come up that will change the transaction. That's not the end of the world for us, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick up your file and move it over here. And we're going to transfer the appraisal. We're going to make that process as seamless as possible for you guys. Unlike a direct lender. A direct lender says no to you. You're just standing there with your file, with your sad face, and you're having to pick up the phone and make a bunch of phone calls. And what if you're up against a private money note coming due? Or what if you have a hard money loan that's coming due in the next few months? You don't really have the time to go get another appraisal done, go price all these loans out, et cetera. So we're just going to pick that file up and move it over. Someone in the audience, I think, actually had a refi that our first question, we potentially have better terms for her for a refi. And my first question was, let me see your appraisal. Let's see if we can transfer that, because it doesn't actually have to be done by us for us to be able to transfer it. So even if you guys have had deals you've been running into hurdles with, we would love to discuss those hurdles and see if it's something that we feel like we can overcome, and we can transfer that appraisal over and make this process easy for you guys. We are extremely relationship driven. I want to know you, like really, really know you, because the products that I'm going to be positioning you with, it is so important that I know you as a person as to how you handle your finances, what your risk tolerance is, what goals you have in mind. I don't know that you're going to get that with every direct lender. I don't want to downplay them. They're good people. But do they want to know you? I want to know about your family and how many properties you guys are looking to acquire and what your retirement goals are. That was weird. Because some of the things that I'm going to present you with, some of the products may be outside of your risk tolerance. Now, we can sit there and talk about it. We can figure out if that product still works for you. We can see if that's giving you that gut reaction of, yes, this is something I need or want to do. Alternatively, we have so many options that we can get something that is comfortable for you guys that meets your requirements. So biggest thing is 30-year fixed mortgage. If I said ARM in this room, there's going to be a couple people that are like, I will never do an ARM. That's totally fine. No harm, no foul. I'm not going to get into the weeds as to why you should or shouldn't. But if you're that person, great, awesome. I know that I'm never going to present an ARM to you and that I'm going to focus on 30-year fixed products. Now, there may be that one time that the deal's just too good for me not to mention another lending product. But again, that's a good thing for me to be like, hey, I know this is outside of your risk tolerance. I know you only like your 30-year fix. You're pretty little. Yeah, I get it, but we have a really good product where this could benefit you, where we could get more cash out. Your origination cost could be lower. There could be factors that may sway you guys a little bit, but my goal is to know you so well that that's just in my back pocket as an additional suggestion, not something I lead with when I know it's not something you guys are comfortable with. So we really want to focus on that. And it allows us to keep you guys accountable. If your goal is to retire in 5 years and to make that happen, you need to be, you know, taking down 15 deals over the next 5 years. I want to be the person that's like, kicking you in the tail end, saying, hey, we haven't had a deal from you in the last few months. What's going on? How can I help? Is there something in the market that's limiting you? Should I keep you in mind when a wholesale deal comes across my desk and it's in an area that you invest in? What can we be doing? What is the shortcoming that's stopping you from continuing to invest? Because there's probably a way that we can help in that space. Hold on. Oh, this is a huge thing. Sorry. That's what it's here for. I want you guys to feel like we are a partner on your team that you don't have to pay a salary to. Think about that. I want you to call me all the time. Bug the hell out of me. Don't care. I want to be the person you call where you're like, I have a deal. I think it's a good deal. Can we talk this out? Can I have a conversation? Is this deal too good to be true? Am I missing something? I want all of those questions. Shoot it via text. Give me a call. Send me an email. Whatever's convenient for you. But we want to feel like we're a part of your team. We want to be a part of the transactions that you're taking down. Again, relationship driven. We are not trying to do one transaction with you. If your goal is to do 100, my goal is to do 100 transactions with you. And we're going to meet you wherever you're at for that. But know that those are going to be questions that we're going to be asking you. So when you're like, why the hell are you asking me how I do my bills? Well, the reason I'm asking how you do your bills is that could affect how we present terms to you and how you like your finances to function. And do you like automatic payments? All these little things matter if alternatively we have lenders that would be a better fit. I just need to not move. I'll just stand still. So LFG Lending stands for Lawrence Financial Group, or depending on what kind of vibe you are, there could be a couple other terminologies that people do LFG to. But instead of that, we decided to break LFG down to learn, fun, give. So I think too often we don't sit down and really understand why we do what we do. The reason I do what I do is because I would like to continue teaching people how they can grow a real estate portfolio. So we spend, I just need to not move. Here we go. I can do it. Probably not. We spend a lot of time. So back to that relationship-driven mentality, we spend a lot of time educating. So once a quarter, we're doing some kind of learn event. That could be a realtor lunch and learn. That could be a Zoom call. That could be, gosh, I don't know. We've done so much. It's focused on actually teaching you something. Next is fun. So I believe that though I love a good cocktail, there's too many real estate events that are alcohol focused. And so we tend to try to do events that are not focused on a bar or happy hour, et cetera. So the most recent one we did is we have a 17-foot projector or blow-up screen and projector, and we watched Money Pit. If you haven't seen Money Pit and you're in the investor space, you got to put that on your list. It's hilarious. So that's something that we do. And then last but not least is giving back to the community that has given so much to all of us. We can't do this on our own. We need the community that's around us. So we are constantly doing that. Most recently, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Pelotonia up in Columbus, but there is a bicycling event that happens every year for the Cure for Cancer. And we did a large volleyball charity event for that. But we're doing this often. We did 12 this year, and I don't know that I can commit to 12 next year, unless it's in different cities where I can delegate off to my sales team. But this is a huge factor for us. It means a lot to us, but it also should mean a lot to you. We're not just here to get your business. Yes, we all need a paycheck, but when it gets down to it, it's about giving as much to you guys as you give to us. Oh, Mortgage Mondays. That's what she's here for. We are starting a email thread December 1st. You probably get plenty of emails. I get it. I know. Look at my Mortgage Mondays. Because what we feel as loan officers is that we've run into these like caveats, these just like weird scenarios where you're like, oh, I don't know if we could or couldn't do that. And then we find a solution for it, because I will say, I do not say no to many loans. Now, I can't promise that you're going to like the terms and conditions, but will I get the deal done? Hell yeah, I will. So Mortgage Mondays are going to be all the little tidbits that you wish you knew before you ran into it yourself. So our most recent one that we just recorded was, what if mom wants to invest, or a family member wants to invest in you growing your real estate portfolio, and how there's really three different ways that you can add a family member into the mix to use their funds needed for closing. We talk about seasoning. We talk about, I'm going to find a loan product for these guys over here. I'm bound and determined we're going to get them a loan one way or another. But there's just all these little factors that honestly, it's week 3, you want to close next week, and something comes up. And we try to avoid it as much as humanly possible. But honestly, some of these things could be avoided on your side. So like another one that we've done is if you lease to a business, you would think that wouldn't be a problem. In the DSCR space, that's a problem. You cannot lease to a business. There's ways for us to work around it. There's things that we can do, but that's just it's such a small little tidbit that if you knew that, you'd be like, hey, so sorry, can't lease to an entity. Let's put this in your personal name. If you want to kind of function this on your books in a different way, that's totally fine. But the lease agreement needs to be not to a business. So there's just all these small tidbits that if you guys can learn on a monthly basis through us, you guys can continue to kind of fill all of your knowledge bank and make sure you don't run into those things yourself. Okay, so the question that happens every time, let's talk about fees. So everyone's question is, oh, I don't use a broker. They're going to charge me more. Sometimes I'll charge you more. I would say about 70% of our lenders do not charge more because I'm a broker. And let me explain why. So alternatively, Brooke could be sitting at a desk at one of our lenders' institutions. She's sitting at a desk. They're paying for that office space. Brooke has a salary. She has health insurance. She's got that really cool t-shirt that she wears. She's got the pens that she's writing with. All those things cost that company money. That's one way. That's the retail channel. I'm the wholesale channel. The way they look at me is, if Liz brings me a deal, I'll pay her. And I'm not paying her until she brings me a deal. So actually, in most cases, the pricing that you get from the both of us are identical. Now again, I don't want to sugarcoat. We definitely have lenders where my fee's on top. I don't want to downplay that. But I will say that those lenders tend to be lenders that, one, we use on a one-off basis. You got some very unique deal that we need someone that's willing to kind of be more of a hard, like a portfolio lender, a private lender, than it is really like a hard money lender. Or this is a lender that you would have limited access to wherever you are located. So again, in most cases, that's not going to be the case. So I wanted to bring this out in the open just because I think it is something that tends to be asked. Hey, are you just tossing your fee? Am I getting charged one way and another? In some cases, yes. In most cases, no. And we can break that down for you. You want to know exactly what fee's going where? I'll tell you. I don't want there to be any lack of confidence in our company of you being unsure of how those fees are structured. Know that when you get the HUD, it will be broken out into two different sections. So before you're like, wait, I thought they were paying you. They do. Within the total origination costs, it's split in some capacity. So you'll still see our name on the HUD, but it'll be based on the numbers that we tell you up front. And you can know all these numbers up front. If there's any lender that tells you they can't tell you exactly what the fees are going to be, run. There is no reason why they cannot be upfront and honest regarding fees and conditions on day one, before you even pull credit, before you give me a document. I'll go quote you out a loan right now. No questions asked. And you're going to know exactly what those numbers look. Now, keep in mind, right now, especially, not all lenders are locking interest rates. That is something for you to know. Because if you're expecting, an 8.5% rate today, but the Fed's increase again in a couple weeks, that 8.5% may not be available anymore. And you're going to be real mad when you get the final documents and you're surprised. Most of them are not locking until final approval, which is pretty extensively through the process. So it's just things that you need to know. And again, if you're someone that doesn't have the risk tolerance to even think about that, I want to know my rate is locked. I don't want any question of this. Cool. We'll put you with a lender that locks your interest rate. It could be a little bit higher, but then you have no risk of it changing. We can meet you guys where you are in the process with your risk tolerance to make sure that there's confidence in that. So to give an overview of everything that we offer, I'm going to speak on the best of the best. So I definitely, what's the lowest down payment we can get on hard money? I would say we do have 100% financing options. You do have to be experienced. or I would almost want you to be experienced. To do 100% financing and not have experience in this space would make me personally a little bit nervous. I think you should want some skin in the game because your rehab budget probably isn't exactly what it should be, let's be honest. Even the experienced investors in here, you hope your rehab budget's right. You walk the property and you're like, dang it. There's a little bit more of a cost. So I get nervous about 100% financing, but it is available. We have 75% ARV. I will say that I have started to hear that lenders are going to go back up to 80% ARV. Still makes me a little nervous, but it may be available on those deals that you want to have as much leverage as possible. Credit score 620 is, like, I would say where I want you to be. We have lenders that'll go lower, but know that lower credit scores, potentially higher rates, but we can get it done. I mean, we have one lender that actually doesn't even pull credit at all. I don't even care what your credit score is. We have lenders that do soft credit pulls. So if you're an investor that does this all day, every day, and you're like, I am so sick of credit pulls. I have 15 in the last 12 months. Okay, then let's see if we can find someone that does soft credit pulls rather than hard credit pulls. Those are all things that are workable. We can lend to no experienced people. That's not a problem. Some lenders, here's another weird caveat. Some lenders will want you to have owned your primary residence. If you don't meet that requirement, we may run into issues. You may not, they may assume that you do own your primary residence, but that's going to be a question that we tend to ask up front to make sure that you meet that requirement. Rates are driven by experience. I would say the lowest rate, if you have 25 plus experience, we can probably get into the high nines. So, and again, that's really cheap money right now, especially on hard money. So kind of keep that in mind. Bridge loans, we don't do a ton of them, which is a good thing. So know that that's a good thing. So bridge financing is really if a deal goes longer than you would want it to. So you got your hard money deal, you got your rehab done, you put it on the market, and for whatever reason, it's not selling and you need some more time. You're confident that you want to sell the property. This would be the only reason that we would go to bridge terms. There's no prepayment penalty, and this would just give you some more time to sell that property. Now, one thing to be mindful of, especially in this weird market that we're in, where we're just kind of trying to figure out what the new ARV is on properties, because quarter four hit all of us, I think. And what ARV that you may have said 6 months ago may not apply today. Be mindful, this is huge, be mindful of your drop dead point. The moment where I can't refinance you out and still pay off your outstanding loan balance. Because the second you drop that sales price on the property below that number, remember, when an appraiser comes out to a property, and let's say it's listed for $350, but now you drop the price to $325, that house is now worth $325. It's not worth $350. If it couldn't sell for $350, it's not worth $350 anymore. But we needed $350 to refi you out to get your money, your loan paid off. But you dropped the price to $325, and now we're up a creek without a paddle of that house likely being appraised for $325 or less, because it's also still not selling at $325. So just be very mindful as you're going through your deals and you're trying to get something off your books that you're also not putting yourself in a position where you can't refi. Because your worst case scenario is you just refi the property, we hold it for a couple years, and you sell it in the future. That is an exit strategy nearly on every deal. So let's make sure we're having those conversations, which we tend to do from the beginning. Hey, what's the plan on this? Are we selling or refi or wanting to keep it as a rental? If it's going to be a rental, then we already have a plan of action as to when we're going to start that process. If you're going to sell it, it still stays on my books. I keep an eye on it. I share it on Facebook. We'll try to get it sold as quickly as possible. But you need to know where your drop dead value is, where you need to immediately call me and say, well, I guess we're holding this one. Because there's plenty of options that we have in that space as well for you guys to get up to 75% cash out or 80% rate and term. So, last but not least is new construction. You do have to have some flipping experience to get into the new construction space, but if you guys want to build a property, we do as a nation have a property shortage. There's too many people and not enough houses, so honestly, new construction is going to be huge over the next 10 years. Would love to help you guys in this space. You get a lot. We'll give you rehab budget to build the property, and then like I said, if you guys want to keep it as a rental, we can assist with that, or you guys could sell it off. I think this is going to be terms and conditions on all three of these products are about the same. 10 to 12%, 2 to 3 points in origination. But I can get you an exact term sheet. We're not going to guess and check. This is more of a generalization for everybody. You guys want an exact quote? We can get you a term sheet to review. Long-term financing. So again, all those products that we just talked about on the last slide, no income validation. Don't care about tax returns, pay stubs, W-2. I don't care if your DTI is 200%. Lender doesn't care, I don't care. So we'll focus in that regard. On this side, DSCR also doesn't have income validation. Who in the room has done a DSCR loan? Yes, we're gonna do some DSCR loans together. DSCR is incredible. I mean, incredible. It's a 30-year fixed mortgage. It's all based on the income of the property, so the amount that it's cash flowing. If you have a cash flowing property, I will give you a 30-year fixed mortgage. It is as simple as that. You have a cash flowing property, I will give you a 30-year fixed mortgage. This is a very, very easy way to grow your portfolio. If you are using the BRRRR method, so you're buying a property, we're using hard money to rehab it, you're gonna get it rented, and I'm gonna refinance you likely into a DSCR loan, hopefully give you as much of that money that you put into the hard money deal back on the refi, and you're just gonna keep turning and burning that money over and over again. Brooke and I used the BRRRR method. It's not broken, don't fix it. Like, it works, guys. Now, you have to be patient. You gotta find the right deal. Not every deal's going to work, but we ended up buying 6 properties using the BRRRR method, and I think we left about 5% of each property in the transaction. So our ARVs were like 120, so I think we left like 40 grand in all 6 of those properties. If that's what you could do with $40,000, it is something you can do with $40,000. You just have to be patient and wait for the right deal, and then we'll advise you on the lending products that would be used to get there. But DSCR is huge. No personal income validation, all based on the cash flow. 1 to 4 family, we can do 5 plus as well. We actually do have a commercial lender that'll do DSCR. The terms are nasty. Not gonna sugarcoat it. But commercial tends to, in some cases, be heavily cash flowing. So as much as I say the rate is not pretty, it may be something to look at. I mean, it's gonna be probably high 10% range, but if it's still a cash flowing property, take down the property. Because if rates drop, you can always refinance and get that lower interest rate, and now it becomes an even more cash flowing property. That has been what we're telling clients. I can't change the interest rates. We can keep, you know, growing our lender portfolio so that we have the best of what we have, but the rates aren't going to change, so it's really focusing on the deal itself and making sure that you're positioned accordingly. If you guys can personally qualify, we're going commercial. So again, those interest rates that I talked about earlier, they're sexy. In comparison, I mean, that's lower than conventional right now. So again, that's going to be a full doc loan. We can use that accordingly. And then last but not least, we do have short-term rental loans that are based off of AirDNA. Yes, I said I was going to give you a loan based off of a website. As crazy as that sounds, it is something that we can offer. So AirDNA is a projected Airbnb income website. You literally go to the website, you put 123 Main Street in, and it populates, hey, you should be able to make $40,000 a year on this property. We're going to use that number to qualify for you on a 30-year fixed mortgage. It's crazy, I know, it's fine. But it's available, so if that's the space that you guys like to specialize in, or if it's something you guys want to specialize in, we can help. And last but not least, we lend nationally. There's a couple states that we don't lend in, the Dakotas, Vermont, Nevada. Generically speaking, that doesn't tend to hit too many people. I did have at my last conference someone from the Dakotas and he got all excited and then I was like, I broke his heart, but it's fine. But again, we're typically able to service most of the people at these conferences and we'd love the opportunity to help. And what questions can I answer for you guys? I think I'm supposed to do something with this. Thank you, sir.
How long is your typical turnaround for a loan?
Hard money. We can turn hard money around 2 weeks or less. If you get a 2-week contract, every lender that I have access to can do the loan. Now, if you need to close in days, I have lenders that'll close in days. Literally, when I say days, I mean like 2 to 3 days. I always question, do you need to close that fast? I always get a little nervous about a wholesaler, no offense to wholesalers, that need to close in days. Now, if their contract's lapsing, Makes total sense. They have a deal with the seller. They need to secure that. Otherwise, the whole deal goes down the toilet. I don't know that that's always the case. I think they're pushing for speed. And I would rather have 2 weeks because that allows me to get you the best terms and conditions. So the fast lenders tend to be that full note interest lender, which is just going to be more expensive for you. Long-term financing, as long as it takes to get the appraisal. So I say that only because you guys are all located in different areas. In Columbus, we tend to get an appraisal back in about a week from ordering. If you're in a more rural area or there's less appraisers there, it could take a little bit longer, but I would say less than 30 days for sure. Awesome.
You mentioned getting as many loans as you could with the regular retail product,
yeah.
You know, before we start going into these investor type loans. Why is that really, like, if we don't have 5 or 10 or whatever the limit is for regular retail financing, what's better, you know, why would we want to
max those out? Why would you not
go
conventional?
I mean, are the rates better? I mean, are
rates aren't better.
Okay, so why would we not just go straight to you and not get regular bank loans?
Conventional loans, yeah.
If we're not maxed out.
So I would say.
And we have the documentation and the credit and everything to get those loans. What's the real, like, typical difference?
Yeah. So if you are trying to burr a property, so if you're rehabbing it and needing to refinance out of hard money loans, you can't due to seasoning. So that's one factor. We close in an LLC. Yeah, you could probably do the loophole of closing conventional and transferring title, but the loan will still not be closing in the LLC. So that's a factor. Our loans do not report to personal credit. None of them do. So that's an added benefit. Higher LTVs. So if you're looking at a multifamily property, the max LTV for a 2-4 unit is 70% cash out, rather than us being able to go up to 80% cash out on a DSCR loan. There's going to be days where I look at you and say, go conventional. You're not going to hurt my feelings. If I didn't tell you go conventional, then I wouldn't be doing the right thing for you. So there's going to be a day where I'm like, go conventional, call me on the next one.
So it really depends on the day. And
depends
on the
day. Every deal is so different. Every factor of the property location, the type of property is, the purchase price. Gosh, I feel like I could go for days. There's so many factors of it. So call, and I'll at least be like, go conventional on that one. Call me on the next one. Or, hey, this is why this is beneficial for this deal. Love it. Who's next? You just pick one. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Both questions are going to be answered, so.
I was going to ask you, can you describe a little more by what you mean by seasoning?
That's
a new term.
Yeah, it's totally fine. Seasoning is the amount of time that you have to own the property before you can use the new appraised value. So perfect example, you buy a house for $75,000, you put $50,000 in it, and you know that it's going to be worth, I don't know, $150,000, $175,000 afterwards. If you were to go with conventional financing, you would have to wait 12 months before you could go off of that 175 figure. It's way too long to wait to go off of that number. Alternatively, we have lenders with as little seasoning as none. So as long as you rehab the property, we can refinance you immediately based on 175 value. We have ones that are 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. Alternatively, what conventional or really any of our lenders are going to do is they're going to base it off the purchase price. That is the max value that we could offer you if we were shorter seasoning than the requirement. So this is just a way that you can get your money back in your pocket as quickly as possible, so you can continue investing it.
You gave the example of some grandparents or parents want to help someone grow their portfolio with money.
Yeah.
So my question is, suppose they want to grow their portfolio with their property. So say Grammy says, I want to donate my property to your business. Of course, there's LLC and all those things that are set up.
Yep.
So tell me a little bit about how.
Yeah, there's a couple. So, I mean, you're asking about, hey, grandma wants to get involved in helping their grandson invest, and how can we go about that? You're talking more of, instead of liquid cash, so if it was just a chunk of money, then I would say, you know, you could add mom or grandma to the LLC as a very small percentage owner. So most of our lenders will not involve an owner as long as they have less than 20% ownership. So as long as grandma has 19% ownership, I'm not going to ask to pull grandma's credit. I'm not going to ask to really do anything other than maybe a bank statement for grandma to say, hey, we have sufficient funds to close, but we're not going to bother you with the loan process. Alternatively, we have lenders that don't verify assets. Yes, I said, I don't actually care where the money comes from, as long as it's your bank account or your business bank account. So that would be, hey, just transfer it over to one of those accounts and we can go that direction. And then we have a couple lenders that will allow for private loan funding. So grandma will set up a note. She can get paid or not get paid. That's up to y'all. And we can use those funds alternatively. Your exact question was, grandma has a property that she just wants to offload. I would say maybe title it into an LLC. You can be included in that or not. That's up to you. I would talk to your tax professional because you're probably getting into the maximum gift allowment stuff. I don't try to speak on tax. That's not what I do. But there's actually a ton of loopholes in regards to that. So definitely talk to someone in regards to that to make sure that it meets the requirements. But after you have transferred that ownership, then we could do a cash out refi and use that cash to continue investing. Yep. They just need to be on title for 30 days. They're LLC of them personally. So however we work it. Who's next?
I have an associate in Florida. He and I have been talking about getting some rental properties. Okay. The idea is to actually buy some land and to put a manufactured home on that.
Okay.
Would that be something you'd be able to refinance out once we got it? It'd be a rental strategy.
Yeah.
So it'd be.
I have one lender that'll do it.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's very limited. Manufactured homes tend to be pretty difficult to get financing
on. Yeah, I understand that.
But we do have one lender that can.
Yeah, that's the first time I'm getting involved with them, so I'm still learning. I'm a single family
home
person.
Yeah, I would recommend us getting on a call. So too often I get the phone call of, I did this already, and I don't have a solution for it. Let's not do that if we can. So this is perfect.
I think we may have one lender, but I'm looking for alternatives.
Exactly. I would want more than one lender to make sure that we have solutions. Because honestly, if I have one lender, that means we have one chance to make this work. I'd rather have two chances to make this work.
And it might make sense to just build.
Yep.
I'm also working on building SIP.
Okay.
Houses.
Yeah.
With structural.
I would say you'd want to potentially go commercial for those avenues. We actually have a platform that's only for brokers in the commercial space. So actually no one has access to it unless you are a broker. And it'll allow us to kind of do a bigger version of me, which is they will shop commercial lenders on a very large scale in any location. So I would honestly recommend going that route if you can.
We are looking for multiples, like 10 to 20 in the next couple of years.
Let's do it. Can't wait. Oh, gosh.
Hi, I have some questions about the BRRRR refinancing strategy.
Yeah.
So I'm getting ready to do my first one. We just bought it. You know, we've owned it a month and a half.
Three.
You mentioned no seasoning, 30 day, 60 day, you know, whatever, all these different time periods. Are there like different rates between that and things like that?
Yeah.
And also, I guess my real question is, you said you can go up to like 85%. Do you have any recommendation on like what's a safe place to go up to? Like maybe, you know, what do you tell people, just take the 85 or should
so
you just
80.
Get...
80% is
sorry.
No, you're totally fine. I just want 80. So 80% on a rate and term refinance, rate and term being we're paying off the outstanding loan balance and closing costs, and that's it, up to 80. So in your scenario, well, let me answer question number one. Question number one was shorter seasoning, is my pricing different? Yes, but not dramatically. I would say the zero seasoning option that we have currently is a 5-1 arm. So that's weird. there was a ball of aluminum foil that just rolled to me. It's fine. If you're not comfortable with a 5-1 arm, then that might be just something we throw off the table naturally. I would say the people that are considering 5-1 arms right now are the people that think that rates are going to drop over the next few years. I am not going to speculate if that's true or not. That's going to be based on your opinion, honestly. Now, again, do I think it's a horrible idea? No. But let's be mindful of what you're getting yourself into. But no, the pricing doesn't change dramatically, but it does change slightly. And so we can look at those. So, hey, we want to refinance immediately. Here's the terms and conditions. Here's 90-day seasoning. Here's a couple different options because we have multiple lenders in that space. Or do we wait 6 months? My question to you is making sure that you do the math on that, because if you wait an additional 3 months, are you costing yourself so much interest payments that you should really, honestly, buy down the interest rate to what you want it to be, because it's going to be the same cost as paying the interest. Yeah, so again, I traditionally don't recommend buying down rates just because the break-even point tends to be a while. But in those scenarios where you're like, I want this rate and I'm willing to wait 6 months to get it, I'm probably going to question you on that. Or, again, put this in the place where we're buying down the interest rate to get you where you need to be. And then I think there's another aspect, 80%. So hard money will go up to 75% ARV. Honestly, I don't know that I would go over 75% of ARV because you're going to have a tough time refinancing out of it if you're going to keep it as a rental. And again, we'll go up to 80% on a rate and term. So I would say 70 to 75% of ARV is where I tell clients they should be finding their deals. So let's kind of slow that math down. If you are buying a property for your ARV is going to be $100,000. Obviously, that's probably tough to find nowadays, but ARV is $100,000. You want your purchase price and your rehab to be no more than $70,000 to $75,000, both. If it's not fitting there, you probably shouldn't take down the deal. Or you at least need to have the mindset that you're going to leave cash in this transaction. That doesn't mean it's not a good deal. You could be cash flowing $600 a month, and in that case, maybe it makes sense for you. And I'm going to ask those questions. If you're getting over-leveraged in a transaction, I'm going to ask you why. Why are we doing this? Is there something that I'm missing? Is there something I don't see? Just to be protective of you. But I'd love to help with your burr. Got to get the first burr done at some point. So.
4 minutes left.
I timed that out pretty well.
Do you do non-recourse loans?
You non-recourse people this weekend. Oh my gosh, they're everywhere. We have one. So, of course, I got the question about six times in the first 2-3 hours of being here. So I very quickly sent some emails out. We have one lender that'll do hard money as non-recourse. So I don't know if that's helpful or not. And then long-term financing. Our commercial guys will do non-recourse depending on the scenario. And we have one lender as of right now that will do portfolio loans. So if you got a handful of them, we could portfolio and they'll go non-recourse. So on all of our loans, even though we're going to close in an LLC, you're going to be a personal guarantor on it. Non-recourse means that they will not go after you as a guarantor on the transaction if you default. Yep, they are a requirement for self-directed loans. So I know that that's been talked about a ton. I would say the DSCR space, keep in mind, I use the phrase all the time, think like a bank. If we're already not validating any income, we're giving you competitive interest rates and high LTVs on a 30-year fixed mortgage, that's a lot of loosey-goosiness already. Adding non-recourse just isn't something that their appetite is up for. I'll look, though. I'll look hard. It'll give me a little bit of a competition for myself. So I'll see what we can find for you guys. And that's the thing. Like, if we don't have the product, I'll go out and find it. Someone will do it. Again, I will say that your terms and conditions are going to be worse if it's non-recourse. So I'd load balance. Why are we going non-recourse? Self-directed IRA, that makes sense. But outside of that, I guess I question what the thought process is. I'll get you.
All right, so I actually had two quick ones. One is, do you have a minimum that you'll loan,
okay,
or that your people will loan? And the other one is, do you fund for build-to-rents, for like a new build for build-to-rents?
So minimum loan amount size, we can go down, I would say 50K is probably the lowest you're going to find on hard money. I mean, I probably have someone that'll go lower if it's a necessity. Hard money, 50, 55, depending on the lender, but you will need an appraised value of 75. Now, that is unusual. So most DSCR lenders are going to want 100K property value for us to do the deal. We do have lenders that will go down to 75, so that definitely opens up that space considerably. And you're saying new construction for build to rent?
Yeah. The new to-do is...
Yeah, I don't... So I think they're putting a fancy name on something that is pretty standard. So I mean, that in the nicest way. I think they're just, you know, kind of commercializing it a little bit. Yes, you can definitely build a new build house. You will need, again, like I had said, for the construction financing, you'll need a couple flips under your belt just because they're going to give you such a big project, a rehab budget, that they're going to want you to have done some rehabs before to feel comfortable for that. And then if you want to keep it as a rental, we can definitely refinance you out. We'll just want to check on market rents because a lot of people have an inflated idea as to what you can rent something for that's a new build, and there's probably not a ton of comps for new builds on the rental side, so we don't want to get ourselves into a pickle on that. Yeah, we'll protect you. Awesome, guys. Well, we appreciate the time. Come see us at the table. Thank you. Here's the staff.